Good evening. This is Russ Werner, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, and tonight's host of Sports Today, the one-hour-long show that airs every Tuesday and Thursday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This edition is for Tuesday, December 31st, 2024. We are going to start off tonight with some NFL football from the Arizona Cardinals camp. This is from Saturday night's game, Rams 13, Cardinals 9. Cardinals lament inability to finish job. This by Theo Mackey of the Arizona Republic. The story has been the same since the Cardinals' bye week, just in different fonts. Each week, they play their opponents close, and each week, bar one, they come up short, not quite able to put it all together at once. Last Sunday in Carolina, the Cardinals' playoff hopes ended because of an ineffective defensive effort aided by a dose of offensive stumbles. On Saturday in Los Angeles, another loss was added to the ledger because the offense could not score points. They had one final chance at the goal line late in the fourth quarter, only for Kyler Murray's first down pass to bounce off Trey McBride's helmet and into the hands of a diving Rams cornerback, Akello Witherspoon. "It stings, man," Cardinals coach Jonathan Gannon said. "It does, because we've been there, but we're not there." What did Gannon mean by that? "When we play our brand of ball, I think we can compete with and beat anybody," Gannon explained. "But that doesn't count. It's about winning and losing." Recently, the Cardinals have done too much of the latter. With Saturday's 13-9 loss, they're now 1-5 since their bye week, and 7-9 on the year. They will finish under 500 for a third consecutive season. Now here's what we learned in the loss. This was almost the momentum builder Arizona wanted. This week, Murray admitted the obvious. The Cardinals' passing attack had not been good enough, and the final 2 weeks were an opportunity to fix that. They were also an opportunity to show that this unit has the answers heading into a crucial offseason for the organization. On Saturday, they found many of those answers. Murray passed for a season-high 321 yards. His top two weapons, Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison Jr., shined. All that despite a battered offensive line that was without three starters, often rendering the run game ineffective. "I love the way we played today," Murray said. "I thought offensive coordinator Drew Pitsing did a great job, got the guys going, put it in their hands, and allowed our playmakers to make plays." The scoreboard, though, told a familiar story. In week 17 of a season in which the Cardinals' offense has only been sporadically effective, they managed just 9 points. Next, Marvin Harrison Jr. showed encouraging signs. It's been a frustrating rookie season for Harrison, but Saturday offered a reminder of why the Cardinals selected him fourth overall last spring. Early on, Murray connected with him for a 24-yard back shoulder fade, with Harrison adjusting his body to make the catch in tight coverage. The Cardinals have attempted that same play repeatedly this season, often unsuccessfully, so it was encouraging for them to pull it off. For the rest of the game, Murray and Harrison found success on crossing routes, which have been their most successful looks all season. On one particularly impressive play, Murray evaded pressure, sprinting to his right and hitting Harrison on the run for a toe-dragging sideline catch. "Haven't even scratched the surface of what we can do," Murray said. "I got so much confidence in what we can be. Obviously, Trey has arrived. Tough to stop, no matter who we're playing. But we got to get Merv going. I felt like today was a good start." In the early season meeting with the Rams, Harrison had a season-high 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. This time, he finished with 6 catches for 96 yards on 10 targets. Now, Trey McBride finally got his touchdown. When McBride powered through a pair of defenders and into the end zone midway through the third quarter, his teammates' arms shot up in unison. Each sprinted toward McBride, ready to mob him in celebration. It was easy to understand why. Before that reception, McBride had caught 97 passes this season for more than 1,000 yards. He had set a Cardinals record for receptions by a tight end. He had run for a touchdown and recovered a fumble for a touchdown, but somehow he had not caught a receiving touchdown. The previous NFL record for most receptions without a touchdown to start a season was 92, set by Tampa Bay's Keyshawn Johnson in 2001. The Cardinals' desperation to get McBride his score was evident during the series on which he eventually scored. Murray tried him on an end zone slant, throwing just behind him, then again on a play-action pass at the goal line, when McBride was held by a defender. The third time, finally, was the charm. "I think Pitsing was calling for that moment," Murray said. "Wish we had connected on the first one, but I'm just glad to get him in the end zone." McBride finished with 12 receptions for 123 yards and the touchdown, continuing an incredible season. Now, James Conner being active was a big risk. The Cardinals seemingly had little reason to play James Conner on Saturday night. He suffered a knee injury last week against the Panthers, never returning after a third-quarter reception. He logged 3 limited practices this week. The Cardinals are eliminated from the playoffs. And perhaps most importantly, he recently signed a 2-year extension, entrenching his place in the Cardinals' future. Despite that confluence of factors, Conner was active and in the starting lineup Saturday. He was in at running back on the first 2 drives before Michael Carter took the bulk of the carries on the 3rd drive. Conner did enter for an unsuccessful 4th down carry on that drive, but he never returned. Gannon said the plan was for Conner to be a full go before his discomfort returned. After that 4th down carry, he spent the rest of the game gingerly walking the sideline in his uniform and helmet, attempting to shake off his knee discomfort. Conner's injury appears to be minor, but for a team eliminated from postseason contention, it was a risk to play their veteran running back. Now, Cardinals' defense impressed against potent Rams' offense. This was not the Rams' offense from Week 2, when their offensive line and receiver corps were plagued by injuries. This was an excellent unit close to full strength, and the Cardinals' defense came to play. They limited Matthew Stafford to 189 yards on 17 for 32 passing, and Kyren Williams to 56 yards on 13 carries. Puka Nacua had a big day, but Cooper Kupp made little impact. That's a testament to a young Cardinals defense that has shown impressive flashes this season, despite its inconsistency. Garrett Williams and Max Melton made a handful of nice plays in the secondary, while Baring Browning, their trade deadline acquisition at edge rusher, made his impact felt up front. "You're playing a damn good offense with a damn good play caller. They got good players over there," Gannon said. "I thought our guys battled." And in other NFL games from over the weekend, first with Saturday's games, Bengals 30, Broncos 24 in overtime. Bengals keep playoff hopes alive with an overtime win. Joe Burrow threw 3 touchdown passes to T. Higgins, including a game-winning scoring strike with 1:07 left in overtime to give the host Cincinnati Bengals an electrifying 30-24 win over the Denver Broncos on Saturday. Cade York could have given Cincinnati, who is 8-8, the win with 2:43 to go in the extra session, but his 33-yard field goal attempt hit the left upright. The Bengals' defense buckled down, though, forcing Denver to go 3 and out to get Burrow, Higgins, and the rest of the offense back out on the field. Cincinnati proceeded to go 63 yards in 5 plays, with Higgins' 3-yard touchdown catch giving the Bengals their 4th straight victory. Higgins finished with 11 catches for 131 yards. Marvin Mims Jr. forced overtime by hauling in a 25-yard score on 4th-and-1 to draw the Broncos, who are 9-7, even at 24 with 8 seconds left in regulation. Burrow had put Cincinnati in front by plunging into the end zone from 1 yard out just 1 minute 21 earlier. Burrow completed 39 of 49 passes for 412 yards and 3 touchdowns, while Ja'Marr Chase had 9 catches for 102 yards and set a single-season franchise record for receptions. He now has 117. Tight end Mike Gesicki played a key role in the Cincinnati passing game, grabbing a season-high 10 catches for 86 yards. The Bengals kept their playoff hopes alive, but they must beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 18, while also getting losses from the Broncos, Miami Dolphins, and Indianapolis Colts. Mims was rookie quarterback Bo Nix's favorite target, recording 103 yards and a pair of scores on 8 receptions. Nix went 24 for 31 passing for 219 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Denver is still in search of a wild card spot and can lock one down with a win over the Kansas City Chiefs on January 5th. In the other game from Saturday, Chargers 40, Patriots 7. Chargers dominate to seal the playoff berth. Justin Herbert passed for 281 yards and a season-high 3 touchdowns, and the Los Angeles Chargers clinched an AFC playoff berth with a dominating 40-7 victory over the New England Patriots on Saturday in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Ladd McConkey caught 8 passes for 94 yards and 2 touchdowns, and Derwin James had 2 sacks and a fumble recovery for the Chargers, who were 10-6, who are playoff-bound in Jim Harbaugh's first season as coach. Darius Davis also had a scoring catch. J.K. Dobbins rushed for 76 yards and a touchdown on 19 carries. And Cameron Dicker booted 4 field goals. Herbert completed 26 of 38 passes as the Chargers improved to 3-12 all-time in Foxborough, including playoffs. Drake May completed 12 of 22 passes for 117 yards and 1 touchdown for New England, who was 3-13. Which lost its 6th straight game. DeMario Douglas caught a scoring pass for the Patriots. Los Angeles outgained New England 428 to 181 yards and had a 29-11 edge in first downs while controlling the ball for 40 minutes, 34 seconds, en route to a season-high point total. And in the NFL roundup from Sunday's games, start with Barkley hits 2,000 yards in Eagles' win. Saquon Barkley rushed for 167 yards to join the 2,000-yard club, and the Philadelphia Eagles clinched the NFC East title with a lopsided 41-7 victory against the visiting Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. The Eagles, at 13-3, swept the rival Cowboys, 7-9, for the first time since 2011, and locked up at least the number 2 seed in the NFC playoffs. With his 11th 100-yard game of the year, Barkley became the 9th player in NFL history to rush for 2,000 yards in a season. Sitting on 2,005 yards, he needs 101 to break Eric Dickerson's NFL single-season record of 2,105 yards set in 16 games in 1984. Starting for Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts in the concussion protocol, Kenny Pickett tallied a touchdown pass and a touchdown run before exiting early in the third quarter with a rib injury. Tanner McKee, making his NFL debut, replaced Pickett and threw a 20-yard touchdown pass to A.J. Brown to put the Eagles up 34-7 with 2:44 left in the third quarter. McKee added a 25-yard TD pass in the fourth quarter to Devonta Smith, who finished with 6 catches for 120 yards and 2 scores. The Cowboys turned the ball over 4 times. Cooper Rush threw 2 interceptions and 1 touchdown pass, and Rico Dowdle rushed for 104 yards to notch his first 1,000-yard season. He's at 1,007. Now we have Bills 40, Jets 14. Josh Allen passed for 2 touchdowns and rushed for 1 more as the Buffalo Bills clobbered the New York Jets in Orchard Park, New York. The Bills clinched the number 2 seed in the AFC with the victory. Allen was showered with MVP chants after putting the game away with a pair of third-quarter touchdown passes, a 30-yard connection with Amari Cooper, and a 14-yard strike to a leaping Keon Coleman with 12 seconds left in the frame. Those scores sandwich a 1-yard touchdown run by James Cook. Buffalo, at 13-3, took a 33-0 lead into the fourth quarter thanks to its 21-point third. Allen, who turned things over to backup quarterback Michael Trubisky for the final 15 minutes, finished with 182 yards on 16 for 27 passing. Trubisky hit Tyrell Shavers for a 69-yard TD on his first pass of the contest to make it 40-0 with 12:37 to go. It marked Shavers' first career catch. Next, we have Jaguars 20, Titans 13. Mac Jones threw two touchdown passes Sunday, and the Jacksonville Jaguars earned a season sweep of the visiting Tennessee Titans with a victory. Jones connected on 15 of 22 passes for 174 yards, finding Parker Washington and rookie Brian Thomas Jr. for scores, as Jacksonville at 4-12 left Tennessee at 3-13, behind in the AFC South cellar. Cam Little booted field goals of 48 and 44 yards. Mason Rudolph hit 19 of 31 attempts for 193 yards with a touchdown and an interception for the Titans, which dropped their fifth consecutive game. Tyjae Spears rushed for 95 yards on 20 carries, playing in place of Tony Bullard, who was out with the flu and an ankle issue. Jones's 11-yard scoring strike to Thomas with 7:05 left in the game gave the Jaguars a 20-10 lead, but Tennessee responded with Matthew Wright's 28-yard field goal at the 2:02 mark. After getting a 3-and-out, the Titans had a chance to force overtime and reach the Jacksonville 26. But Rudolph's fourth-down pass intended for Nick Westbrook-Icky was knocked down at the goal line with 9 seconds left. Next, Raiders 25, Saints 10. Aiden O'Connell threw two touchdown passes. Daniel Carlson kicked four field goals. Amir Abdullah had the first 100-yard rushing game of his career, and the visiting Los Angeles Raiders defeated the New Orleans Saints. Abdullah, playing in the 141st game of his 10-year career, finished with 115 yards on 20 carries. O'Connell completed 20 of 35 passes for 242 yards as the Raiders, who are 4-12, won their second straight after a 10-game losing streak. Brock Bowers added 7 receptions for 77 yards, giving him 1,144 receiving yards, which broke the NFL season record for a rookie tight end, set by Mike Ditka with 1,076 yards in 14 games in 1961. Rookie Spencer Rattler passed for 218 yards with a touchdown and 2 interceptions and fell to 0-5 as a starter for the Saints, who are 5-11. Las Vegas's first possession of the third quarter resulted in Carlson's 54-yard field goal, which increased his lead to 16-10 at the end of the period. Now we have Buccaneers 48, Panthers 14. Baker Mayfield threw for 5 touchdowns, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers stayed in the race atop the NFC South by pounding the visiting Carolina Panthers. Mike Evans and Jalen McMillan both caught 2 TD passes, and Bucky Irving rushed for 113 yards as Tampa Bay's second victory of the month against Carolina came much easier than the road version in overtime. Mayfield completed 27 of 32 passes for 359 yards, and Evans caught 8 balls for 97 yards. The Buccaneers at 9-7 collected 551 yards of total offense. The Buccaneers at 4-12 have lost 5 of their last 6 despite Bryce Young throwing 2 touchdown passes to Adam Thielen, 5 catches, 110 yards for him. Young finished 15 for 28 passing for 203 yards, but Carolina managed only 39 rushing yards as it played without injured top running back Chuba Hubbard. Next we have Giants 45, Colts 33. Drew Lock matched his career high of 4 touchdown passes and also rushed for a score, and the New York Giants snapped their franchise record 10-game losing streak with an entertaining victory over the Indianapolis Colts in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Malik Nabers had 7 receptions for a career-best 171 yards and 2 touchdowns to exceed 100 receptions and 1,000 yards during his strong rookie campaign. New York, at 3-13, registered a season-best for points scored by more than tripling its league-worst season average of 14.3 per game. The setback eliminated the Colts, who were 7-9, from the AFC playoff race. Locke completed 17 of 23 passes for 309 yards, and Wandale Robinson and Darius Slayton also had receiving scores for the Giants, who won at home for the first time this season. Amar Smith-Morset returned a kickoff for a touchdown. Then we have Dolphins 20, Browns 3. Tyler Huntley completed 22 of 26 passes for 225 yards, one touchdown and no interceptions, and ran for another score to lead the Miami Dolphins to a victory over the host Browns on Sunday in Cleveland, Ohio. Huntley made his fourth start of the season and did so in place of Dolphins' injured starting quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, who sat out with a hip injury. With the win, the Dolphins at 8-8 kept their playoff hopes alive heading into Week 18. Miami must beat the New York Jets next week and needs the Denver Broncos to lose to the Kansas City Chiefs in order to secure the AFC's final wildcard playoff berth. Cleveland at 3-13 lost its fifth in a row and seventh in its past eight games. The Dolphins were also missing wide receiver Jaylen Waddle due to a wrist injury. Now, Vikings 27, Packers 25. Sam Darnold completed 33 of 43 passes for a career-best 377 yards to go with three touchdowns and one interception. And the Minnesota Vikings escaped with a win over the Green Bay Packers in Minneapolis. Justin Jefferson had caught eight catches for 92 yards for Minnesota, who is 14-2, which won his ninth game in a row. Jalen Naylor, Jordan Addison, and Cam Akers had one touchdown reception apiece for the Vikings. Jordan Love completed 19 of 30 passes for 185 yards and one touchdown for Green Bay, who is 11-5. Josh Jacobs and Emmanuel Wilson each rushed for a touchdown, and Malik Heath had a touchdown catch for the Packers, who lost to the Vikings for the second time this season. Minnesota's nine-game winning streak matches its third longest in franchise history. And finally, in Sunday Night Football, Jaden Daniels hit Zach Ertz for a two-yard touchdown with 2:42 left in overtime as the Washington Commanders beat the Atlanta Falcons in Landover, Maryland, to secure their first playoff berth since the 2020 season. The Commanders at 11-5 clinched a wild-card berth with their fourth straight win and could finish as high as sixth seed in the NFC. In the NFC South, Atlanta at 8-8 sits behind the first-place Tampa Bay Buccaneers 9-7, who can clinch the division by defeating the New Orleans Saints in Week 18. Washington took the opening kickoff of extra session, and Daniels later ran for 16 yards on 3rd-and-2 at midfield, then passed to Chris Rodriguez Jr., two plays later for a 12-yard gain and another first down. Daniels eventually added a pair of 6-yard runs that got him in position to find Ertz for the game-winning points. Daniels completed 24 of 36 passes for 227 yards, three touchdowns and one interception, and ran for 127 yards on 16 attempts. Ertz caught two touchdown passes. Amade Zacharias had eight catches for 85 yards and a score. Bijan Robinson ran for two touchdowns for the second straight game for Atlanta. Then in Monday night's game, Lions ready for duel with Vikings by topping 49ers. Jared Goff threw three touchdown passes, and the Detroit Lions tuned up for their Week 18 division showdown against Minnesota by beating the San Francisco 49ers 40-34 on Monday night. Goff threw a go-ahead touchdown pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown in the final minute of the third quarter, following the first of Kirby Joseph's two second-half interceptions against Brock Purdy in a rematch of last season's NFC title game won by San Francisco. That proved to be enough for the Lions, who are 14-2, to extend their franchise record for wins in a season as they beat the 49ers, who are 6-10, on the road for the first time since 1975. The stakes for this game were minuscule compared to the last meeting between the teams when a berth in the Super Bowl was on the line last January. San Francisco was eliminated from playoff contention last week, and Detroit plays Minnesota in the regular season finale next week, with the winner earning the NFC North title and top seed in the NFC playoffs, and the loser being relegated to a wild card. The win against the 49ers would only matter if Detroit and Minnesota tie in Week 18, with the Lions now set to earn the number one seed in that unlikely scenario. Jahmyr Gibbs put the game away with a 30-yard touchdown run with less than 3 minutes left, following Purdy's second interception, giving him 117 yards on the night. The offenses dominated for much of the night, with the teams scoring touchdowns on the first five possessions, and Purdy and Goff combining to complete the first 17 passes of the game, including a perfectly executed hook and ladder play that led to a 42-yard TD for Goff. He threw a short pass to St. Brown, who immediately pitched the ball to Jameson Williams, who sneaked down the sideline for the final 41 yards and his second TD of the first half. The only stops of the half came when Renardo Green broke up a pass in the end zone from Goff to Sam DeLaPorta, and when Jake Moody missed a 51-yard field goal in the closing seconds for San Francisco. Purdy threw a 5-yard pop pass for a TD on San Francisco's opening drive of the second half, before Detroit's defense finally managed a stop when Joseph intercepted an overthrown pass by Purdy. Goff turned that into a 4-yard TD pass to St. Brown on fourth and goal to give the Lions their first lead at 31-28 late in the third quarter. Moody missed a 58-yard field goal that could have tied the game early in the fourth quarter for his 9th missed field goal of the season. Moody also missed an extra point after Joshua Dobbs scored on a TD run in the final minute. And in college football, here are some scores from some bowl games, starting with Friday's games. At the Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth, Texas, it was Navy 21, Oklahoma 20. The Birmingham Bowl in Birmingham, Alabama, had Vanderbilt 35, Georgia Tech 27. The Liberty Bowl in Memphis, Tennessee, Arkansas 39, Texas Tech 26. The Holiday Bowl in San Diego, Syracuse 52, Washington State 35. The Las Vegas Bowl in Las Vegas, Nevada, Southern Cal 35, Texas A&M 31. Then from Saturday's games, the Fenway Bowl in Boston had UConn 27, North Carolina 14. The Pinstripe Bowl in the Bronx, New York, Nebraska 20, Boston College 15. The New Mexico Bowl in Albuquerque, New Mexico, TCU 34, Louisiana 3. The Pop-Tarts Bowl in Orlando, Florida, Iowa State 42, Miami 41. The Arizona Bowl in Tucson, Arizona, Miami of Ohio 43, Colorado State 17. The Military Bowl in Annapolis, Maryland, East Carolina 26, North Carolina State 21. The Alamo Bowl in San Antonio, Texas, had BYU 36, Colorado 14. And the Independence Bowl in Shreveport, Louisiana, had Army 27 and Louisiana Tech 6. Then in Monday's game, at the Music City Bowl in Nashville, Tennessee, it was Missouri 27, Iowa 24. And in the college football playoff games coming up this week, tonight is the Fiesta Bowl in Glendale, Arizona, Penn State versus Boise State. Wednesday, tomorrow, will be the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, Texas versus Arizona State at 11 a.m. The Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California, will have Ohio State versus number one Oregon at 3 p.m. And the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans will have Notre Dame versus Georgia at 6:45 p.m. And that will put us at about our halfway point in this evening's sports today. Now over to some basketball, starting with the NBA Phoenix Suns, this game from Saturday. Golden State 109, Suns 105. Suns, again without Booker, fall at Golden State. This is by Dwayne Rankin of the Arizona Republic. The shorthanded Phoenix Suns failed to execute down the stretch in Saturday's 109-105 loss to Golden State before a sellout crowd of 18,064 at Chase Center. Outscored 27-18 in the fourth quarter, Phoenix at 15-16 didn't have another field goal after Josh Okogie's three gave them a 100-91 lead with 6:39 left. The Suns missed their last nine shots from the field as they were outscored 18-5 down the stretch. Now 1-5 in their last six games, the Suns are below 500 for the first time since Christmas of last season, when falling to 14-15 after losing at home to Dallas on the holiday. Kevin Durant scored a team-high 31 points and posted four blocks Saturday, but committed eight turnovers in a game with three coming in the game's final 6 minutes. Bradley Beal went for 28 points after scoring just 11 on 5 of 18 shooting in Friday's loss at Dallas, but Andrew Wiggins blocked his three with 4:10 left and Phoenix up 100-97. Then with Phoenix down three with 12.1 seconds left, Beal elected to go for two and missed with 6.4 seconds left. Jonathan Kuminga was fouled after grabbing the rebound and split two free throws with 3.9 seconds to seal the victory for the Warriors, who are 16-15, who snapped a three-game skid. Kuminga scored a game-high 34 points with 13 coming in the fourth quarter. Now here are some takeaways from Saturday's game as both teams were on the second of a back-to-back. Injuries again a factor. Phoenix came into the game without Devin Booker, a left groin strain, Grayson Allen, concussion protocol, and Bol Bol with a left knee contusion. The Suns hoped the 2 days between Saturday's game and its New Year's Eve matchup against Memphis at Footprint Center will serve them well in getting those three back. The NBA handed Yusuf Nurkic a three-game suspension without pay for his involvement in an on-court altercation with Dallas Mavericks forward Najee Marshall and P.J. Washington in Friday's home loss. The 7-footer's suspension began Saturday. Now Phoenix may miss another key player for multiple games. Royce O'Neal sprained his left ankle with 40.7 seconds left in the first half Saturday, after blocking Dennis Schroeder's driving layup in transition and didn't return. He left the arena in a walking boot. Not good, not good at all. Now we have fourth quarter disaster. Yes, they're definitely missing Booker. The Suns are 1-4 without him in these last five games. His presence alone gives everyone else, including Durant and Beal, more space, and he can carry the offense for stretches. However, even with him, Allen, Nurkic, and O'Neal out, the Suns shouldn't go 4 of 19 from the field in the fourth quarter, making 1 of 11 from 3, even if Golden State played good defense. Insane. Three quick points. 1. The Suns must figure out a way for Durant to finish plays instead of having to initiate offense. Again, just because he can take the game over doesn't mean it has to be off the bounce. However, Jones took a three with Phoenix down one, and Durant was open on the sideline. Now, Jones was open. The Suns want him to be aggressive, but at that moment, the extra pass to an open Durant is an even better look because he wouldn't have to work for that one. 2. Mason Plumlee must be a threat inside, but he consistently kicks the ball out for threes even if he's in a position to score. The Warriors started playing him for the pass and got at least one turnover out of that, if not both of Plumlee's turnovers. Yes, they want to generate threes, but shot just 9 of 35. Beyond that is passing up easier twos that could lead to fouls and three-point plays the old-fashioned way. Now 3, the 14 turnovers led to 20 Golden State points. Durant understands he must be better in this area. He just finished with 0 turnovers in the Christmas win over Denver and had only 1 Friday against Dallas after coughing up 8 and that horrible loss to Detroit. It's not all on him, but he is the closer. Durant could use a co-star in this department and a dagger guy to really make teams play for doubling and tripling him. Booker and Beal are the leading candidates for co-star, but who will be that guy who hits clutch shots down the stretch? And finally, no need to panic, but the Suns are 31 games into the season and are below 500. Still haven't reached the season's midway point. That's good news. They are only three games out of the fifth spot held by the Los Angeles Lakers and the sixth spot maintained by the Los Angeles Clippers. Plus, Booker and Allen appear close to returning. That's even better news. They played well enough defensively to win the last two games. That's a positive moving forward as well, but they leave San Francisco realizing the Warriors won despite shooting just 12 of 45 on threes, with Stephen Curry going 4 of 13 from deep in scoring 22 points. Got to win that game. The Suns were up 9 with 6 minutes left in the game and couldn't close the deal. That's not good, especially 31 games into the season. Not good at all. And in the rest of the NBA from Sunday's roundup, Thunder rout Grizzlies run streak to 11. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 35 points to help the Oklahoma City Thunder run their winning streak to 11 games with a 130-106 home victory over the Memphis Grizzlies on Sunday. The loss snapped the Grizzlies' two-game winning streak and was just their fourth in 18 games. The Thunder had a season-high 35 assists, led by 8 from Jalen Williams. Without Ja Morant, who sustained a sprained AC joint in his right shoulder on Friday's win over New Orleans, and several other key players, Memphis didn't have an answer for the Western Conference leading Thunder. The Grizzlies also were without Zach Edey for the concussion, and Brandon Clark with the right knee soreness. Desmond Bane led Memphis with 22 points. Now Magic 102, Nets 101. Cole Anthony hit the game-winning basket with 1.3 seconds left to cap a furious rally as the host Orlando Magic erased a 21-point deficit and completed a season sweep of the Brooklyn Nets. Rookie Tristan Da Silva led the Magic with 21 points to go along with 7 assists and 6 rebounds. Goga Bitadze collected 11 rebounds and added 19 points, including a free throw that gave Orlando its first lead since the opening quarter with 17.7 seconds left. Kian Johnson contributed 14 as the Nets also lost Cameron Johnson to a sore left hip after the third. Next, we have Pacers 123, Celtics 114. Tyrese Halliburton had 31 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists as the visiting Indiana Pacers pulled away late for a victory over the Boston Celtics. Andrew Nembhard returned from a one-game absence of a left knee and added 17 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists for the Pacers, who also got 17 points, 8 boards, and 6 assists from Pascal Siakam. Benedict Mathurin scored 14 points, Miles Turner netted 13, and Jarice Walker contributed 12 points off the bench to help Indiana snap its two-game losing streak. Jaylen Brown led the Celtics with 31 points and 6 assists. Jason Tatum added 22 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists, but was just 2 of 10 from 3-point range. Al Horford went just 1 of 10 from deep and finished with 5 points. Next, Hawks 136, Raptors 107. Trae Young collected 34 points and 10 assists, and the visiting Atlanta Hawks never trailed en route to a victory over the Toronto Raptors. Reserve DeAndre Hunter added 22 points for the Hawks, who have won 4 games in a row. Jalen Johnson chipped in 15 points, 6 steals, and 1 block. Onyeka Okongwu returned after missing 5 games due to a knee injury and scored 15 points off the bench. Zachary Rozacher contributed 14 points, and Clint Capella had 11 points and 13 rebounds. Scotty Barnes had 19 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 steals for the Raptors, who have lost 10 straight games. Then we have Heat 104, Rockets 100. Tyler Hero recorded a game high of 27 points and 9 assists before being ejected during a hostile final minute as the Miami Heat rallied from a 12-point second-half deficit to beat the host Houston Rockets. Hero was one of 5 players tossed in the final 47.4 seconds after Nikola Jokic's 3-pointer gave Miami a 98-94 lead. Houston's Fred VanVleet was ejected first for arguing a 5-second call on the Rockets' ensuing inbound play. 12 seconds later, Hero and the Rockets forward Amen Thompson ignited a skirmish that led to both being disqualified, along with Heat guard Terry Rozier and Houston guard Jalen Green. Rockets head coach Emi Udoka and assistant Ben Sullivan were also kicked out. Dylan Brooks scored a team-high 22 points for Houston after missing the last three games with right ankle soreness. And finally, Timberwolves 112, Spurs 110. Dante DiVincenzo scored a season-high 26 points as the Minnesota Timberwolves outlasted Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs in a wild Western Conference clash in Minneapolis. The game was tied heading into the fourth quarter after the Spurs rallied from a 16-point deficit early in the third period. Minnesota went ahead 110-105 after a pair of free throws by Rudy Gobert with 2:13 remaining. The Spurs responded with a jumper from Devin Vassell with 1:50 left, and Gobert split two free throws with 58 seconds to play. Wembanyama brought San Antonio to within 2 points on a jarring left-handed dunk with 45.2 seconds left. And over in college basketball, start with the University of Arizona men's team on Monday night's game. Revived Arizona guard Caleb Love scores 33 to lead Wildcats to a 90-81 win over TCU in the Big 12 opener. The Arizona Wildcats unearthed their preseason All-American just in time for Big 12 conference play. After slumping much of the non-conference season under the weight of sky-high expectations, Arizona guard Caleb Love poured in a season-high 33 points to lead the Wildcats over TCU 90-81 in their first-ever Big 12 game on Monday at McHale Center. "Obviously, I'll take it every day," UA coach Tommy Lloyd said of Love's prolific offense. "Caleb played great. It's going to be a long conference season, but he deserves that." On a night when Lloyd also said center Mo Crevis would miss the rest of the season with a foot injury that has mostly plagued him since August, UA big man Henry Vassar added 15 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists, while guard KJ Lewis set a new career high in assists with 8 off of the bench. Love built his 33-point effort on 11-for-17 shooting, hitting 5 of 11 three-pointers, while making all 6 free throws he took. Love also collected 7 assists and 6 rebounds. "We didn't have an answer for Love," TCU coach Jamie Dixon said. "They killed us offensively. Generally, it's the guard who plays the best. His team usually wins." Love had shown signs of this sort of thing was coming, averaging 23.5 points while hitting 6 of 17 three-pointers in the Wildcats' final non-conference games against Samford and Central Michigan. His 80-point total over the past 3 games were the most of any 3-game stretch in his career. "For sure, I feel like I'm definitely in a rhythm," Love said, thanking God and his mother, whom he called kind of my spirit warrior. Love also thanked his teammates for setting him up and moving the ball. Arizona shot 56.9% from the field while setting up 28 of his 33 field goals with assists. The University of Arizona women's basketball team opens their Big 12 season this evening with a home debut against Utah. The ASU men's basketball team opens its Big 12 conference schedule this evening at Brigham Young University. The ASU women played Monday afternoon and defeated Penn 73-67 in Tempe. And over at GCU men's basketball, they played Saturday against San Diego. They won that game 68-55. And Monday against Bryant, Williams' career night fuels a 46-point rout of Bryant. GCU guard delivers 31 points, 5 steals off the bench for the team's D1-era scoring record. Just in time for conference play, Grand Canyon reminded everyone of how they ruled the WAC last season and why they were picked unanimously by opposing conference coaches to win the title again this season. That message came vehemently in the form of the program's second greatest blowout of a Division I opponent for the Lopes' fourth consecutive win Monday night. GCU destroyed Bryant with a 61-23 first half on the way to routing the Bulldogs 112-66 at Global Credit Union Arena. A Lopes 48-12 finish in the first half was charged by a breakout night from GCU sophomore reserve guard Micaiah Williams, who set a career high for points and steals before halftime by scoring 24 of his 31 points and snatching 4 of his 5 steals. And over at the GCU women, they defeated Northern Arizona on Sunday, 79-70. And they will start their conference play Saturday, January 4th at Southern Utah. And in NAU men's basketball, Monday night's game, the Lumberjacks at 9-4 picked up a dominant 110-74 victory over the Benedictine Mesa Red Wings, 11-4, putting Northern Arizona at their best start ahead of the Big Sky Conference play since 2002. And now for some Major League Baseball news from the Arizona Diamondbacks. This is from Saturday. Diamondbacks signed All-Star Burns to $210 million deal. This is by Nick Piacoro of the Arizona Republic. The Diamondbacks shocked the baseball world late Friday night, agreeing to terms with right-hander Corbin Burns on a 6-year, $210 million deal, the largest contract in franchise history. Burns immediately slots in at or near the top of the Diamondbacks' rotation, giving them a talented and deep group that also includes right-handers Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. The agreement, which is pending a physical, calls for Burns to earn $30 million in each of 2025 and 2026, after which he will have the ability to opt out of the remaining 4 years and $150 million, according to a source. The deal is shocking for a number of reasons. The Diamondbacks already had 6 starting pitchers and have needs on the position player side and in the bullpen. They were thought to be up against financial restraints, and they had not been linked to Burns, one of the top starting pitchers on the market. It also raises a number of questions going forward, namely, what will he do to solve their pitching logjam? In addition to Gallen and Kelly, the club has right-handers Brandon Pfaadt and Rain Nelson, and lefties Eduardo Rodriguez and Jordan Montgomery. Montgomery has been linked to trade rumors all winter. Though signing Burns would seemingly give the Diamondbacks the freedom to trade any of their starters, even Gallen or Kelly, both of whom are set to be free agents after 2025, a source suggested the club is pushing to win next year, which would suggest trading from the top of the rotation is unlikely. While it is all but certain at least one starter will be traded, it is not clear if the team will look to trade multiple starters. Burns, 30, is coming off a season in which he posted a 2.92 ERA in 32 starts for the Baltimore Orioles. He had spent the previous 6 season of his career with the Milwaukee Brewers, accumulating a 3.26 ERA across 709 and a third innings. He won the National League Cy Young Award in 2021, logging a 2.43 ERA in 167 innings. For years, Burns, a Scottsdale resident, has been telling friends with the Diamondbacks that he would love to pitch on their team someday. He reportedly took a little less to make that happen, according to a report from USA Today's Bob Nightingale. Burns had a larger guarantee on the table from both the San Francisco Giants and the Toronto Blue Jays. Nightingale reported noting that the lower income tax in Arizona might have been a factor. According to a source, the Diamondbacks were not aggressively pursuing Burns, but rather that the pitcher came to them late in the free agent process, expressing a desire to pitch in Arizona. Ken Kendrick, the Diamondbacks' managing general partner, was willing to stretch the budget to get the deal done. A source described Kendrick's thinking as seeing the chance to sign Burns as being too good of an opportunity to pass up. The signing pushes the Diamondbacks' estimated payroll into the $194 million range, according to FanGraphics roster resource. Per FanGraphics calculations, the organization spent $173 million on payroll this past season, a club record. Recent reports indicated Burns was seeking a deal in excess of $245 million. Burns' agreement exceeds the 6-year, $206.5 million deal the club gave to right-hander Zach Greinke in December of 2015. Greinke's deal had been the largest in team history. The deal comes with obvious risks for the Diamondbacks, an organization that typically ranks among the bottom half of spenders in the majors. An injury or a drop-off in results could potentially turn it into an albatross for a team that cannot easily absorb such contracts. There also has been concern in the industry about what Burns appears to be trending. His signature pitch is his cutter, but he has stopped eliciting swings and misses with it each of the past four seasons, going from a 33.2% whiff rate during his Cy Young campaign in 2021 to a 19% rate this past season. That said, he has continued to post strong results every year. He has received Cy Young votes each of the past five seasons. Moreover, he is described by those who know him as being obsessive about his dedication, a pitcher who is deeply motivated to be great. Despite the logjam in the 2025 rotation, the move gives the Diamondbacks some clarity for their rotation, or at least for the two seasons they are certain to have Burns. It would also appear to make it less likely that they would extend Gallen, who will likely be seeking a massive free agent contract of his own next winter. As it stands, the 2026 rotation could include Burns, Rodriguez, Fott, and Nelson. And in some NHL hockey scores from Sunday, it was Pittsburgh Penguins 3-2 over the New York Islanders, Detroit Red Wings 4, Washington Capitals 2, Anaheim Ducks 5, Edmonton Oilers 3. It was the Buffalo Sabres 4, St. Louis Blues 2. Montreal Canadiens defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-2. It was the Ottawa Senators 3, the Minnesota Wild 1. Las Vegas Golden Knights 3, Calgary Flames nothing. And finally, the Dallas Stars 5, Chicago Blackhawks 1. And now I will run down the AP Top 25 in both men's and women's basketball with their movement and any games they played this past weekend. Starting with the men, we have number 1 is Tennessee, remains at number 1. They defeated Middle Tennessee 82-64. Number 2 remains Auburn. 3 remains Iowa State. Duke stays at number 4. Alabama stays at number 5. They defeated South Dakota State 105-82. Florida stays at 6. They defeated Stetson 85-45. Kansas stays at 7. Marquette at 8. Oregon stays at 9. They defeated Weber State 89-49. Kentucky stays at number 10. UConn stays at 11. Oklahoma stays at number 12. They defeated Prairie View A&M 89-67. Texas A&M remains at number 13. They defeated Abilene Christian 92-54. 14, Houston moved up a spot. UCLA moved up 7 spots to number 15. They defeated Gonzaga 65-62. Number 16, Cincinnati moved up a spot. Mississippi State moved up 2 spots to number 17. Michigan State remains at number 18. Gonzaga moved down 5 spots to number 19. They were defeated by UCLA, as we mentioned, 65-62. Purdue moved up a spot to number 20 after defeating Toledo 83-64. Memphis stays at 21. They defeated Ole Miss 87-70. Illinois moved up 2 spots to number 22 after they defeated Chicago State 117-64. Arkansas stays at 23. Ole Miss moved down 8 spots after losing to Memphis 87-70. And Baylor remains at number 25 after defeating Arlington Baptist 107-53. And now on the women's AP, number 1, UCLA remains at number 1. They defeated Nebraska 91-54. South Carolina remains at number 2 after defeating Wofford 93-47. Notre Dame remains at number 3, defeated Virginia 95-54. USC remains at number 4. They defeated Michigan 78-58. Texas remains at 5. They defeated UT Rio Grande Valley 94-35. LSU remains at number 6. They defeated University at Albany 83-61. UConn remains at number 7. They defeated Providence 67-41. Maryland remains at 8. They defeated Michigan State 72-66. Oklahoma stays at 9. They defeated New Mexico State 82-64. Ohio State remains at 10. They defeated Rutgers 77-63. TCU stays at 11. They defeated Brown 79-47. Kansas State remains at 12. Georgia Tech remains at 13. They defeated Pittsburgh 100-61. Duke remains at 14. Tennessee remains at 15. They defeated Winthrop 114-50. Kentucky remains at 16. They defeated Western Kentucky 88-70. North Carolina stays at 17. They defeated Miami of Florida 69-60. West Virginia stays at 18. Alabama moved up a spot to number 19 after defeating Jacksonville 93-46. California also moved up a spot. Michigan State moved down two spots to number 21 after losing to Maryland 72-66. North Carolina State remains at 22. Iowa moved up a spot to 23 after defeating Purdue 84-63. Michigan moved down the spot after losing to USC 78-58. And Ole Miss remains at number 25. And that's going to wrap up tonight's edition of Sports Today for Tuesday, December 31st, 2024. I'm Russ Warner, tonight's host of Sports Today and a volunteer leader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a good evening and stay tuned for more. Don't forget, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Then under Programming Links, left-click on Demand Podcast. Also, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.